Hare Krishna. Yesterday was World Women's Day, and I guess in light of that, I just wanted to make a few statements and comments about certain phenomena that has been in the media recently, but a phenomena that, whether in the media or out of the media, has been current in society at large, especially in Asian or even Indian society, and even in our Krishna consciousness movement. I made the same podcast to devotees in Hungary, explaining to them that I see it also there. And that situation is the exploitation of women within society at large. That exploitation goes on in our movement, and in one sense, one very good example with which to grasp it is how the Varnashram system, which is Krishna's God-given system for society, has become disregarded, irrelevant, and actually a symbol of what social structure shouldn't be, due to its misuse and degradation by materialistic people who have transformed Varnashram into what is now known as the caste system. And it is because of this ill repute of the caste system that the Krishna consciousness movement establishing Varnashram system is difficult. Of course, there are other reasons why it's difficult, but this is certainly one reason why it's going to further prove to be a challenge. And in Vedic culture, and not just Vedic culture, but generally in other cultures, although let's just stick to our own, we know that the principle of protection of women, that women and men are meant to play different roles, and women are meant to be protected. And it's because of these differing roles that women play other than men, that women have gradually, by the exploitation of materialistic people and the influence of Kali Yuga, been regulated to a lesser role, that their role is lesser or it's secondary, because different doesn't mean that it's lesser or secondary. And not only is it that their roles are different or lesser, but then that women themselves are actually lesser. They become second-class citizens. And of course, this was very, very prevalent, for instance, in medieval times, when even Christian church doctrine had it that women didn't have souls. And it was only up until, I think, 100 years ago or even less, that women even had the right to vote. In other words, they had a right to say over what should happen to them from a political point of view and all the consequences that politics brings along with it. Why? Because women were thought to be less. But adomatra guru patni, but women are meant to be treated like one's own mother, all women. And they're not less. They're equal to men in many ways. In some ways, they are more than men. And in some ways, men have more or different qualities than women. But in terms of spirit souls and in the eyes of the Lord, they're considered to be equal. And as a result of this type of misunderstanding, there is exploitation and abuse of women all over the world. Of course, one type of exploitation is what Srila Prabhupada called women's liberation. From the spiritual point of view, yes, women are fully qualified to be liberated. Striya vaisya tatha sudra tepi anti param gatim. On the other hand, women's liberation is another form of exploitation, as Srila Prabhupada would explain, by a clever men. The other type of exploitation is a type of exploitation that if you follow the media, you've been hearing more and more of, especially here in India, particularly due to the very horrific rape of a girl by a handful of men, who, although they're sitting on death row right now, and there's a movie that's come out about this, his answer was that, well, she wouldn't have been killed if she didn't resist. And he remains unrepentant, although he's going to die, because he doesn't understand that doing what he did to a woman is as good as raping the earth. It's as good as standing up against the energy, against the potency, female potency of the Lord. In any case, this is of course not an isolated incident. It happens a lot in India. It gets a lot of publicity in India, and it's happening in the West. Women in the West are also being raped. But at least the attitudes, especially the attitudes of political figures, the attitudes of police, is very clear. It's unacceptable. Whereas in India, it's not necessarily unacceptable. And that's been the problem. People are very slow to move on things like this. Another sort of graphic example is that not long ago, a week ago, Govinda Maharaj wrote me in distress about one of his disciples, an 82-year-old lady who's been living here in Vrindavan and does Vrindavan Parikrama every day, that she was raped and robbed by two youths in daylight and in view of others who didn't do anything. That's 82 years old. And since that time, I've had other complaints come to me, something new type of complaints that I've heard many times before. How ladies who go into Krishna Balaram Mandir are groped by so-called pilgrims, how they're attacked and abused on the streets in the same way. And of course, there are different reasons for this, some of those which I mentioned. Others are obviously the promiscuity that is visible and is publicized and is even supported in television, media, movies, and in society at large, pornography being just an everyday, easily accessible phenomena, and something that drives about 75% of the internet. That certainly has made people more lusty or crazy than they are. But still, the reaction of officials, just like the reaction to these type of horrific acts against women here in Vrindavan, have historically gotten very slow reaction from the police, from politicians, from others, and even from our own members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Why? Because once again, women are considered to be in a different category than men. And unfortunately, that's also there in our movement. I've often complained about this quote-unquote phrase of Vedic women, that women should act like Vedic women, like Draupadis, like Rukmini Devis, and so on. But for me, that's a relevant argument, and I don't say that it's not something that is not relevant, but it's a relevant argument when men are Vedic. ultimately, if women are meant to be following men, then first men should show the example of how they're Vedic, how they're supportive, how they're respective, how they worship all women as mother. And when they do, then expect women to be Vedic. Otherwise, don't expect women to be Vedic so that you can just exploit them, that you can treat them less than you would treat another male. That's offensive, especially when we're dealing with Vaishnavis. So, although roles may differ, although in one sense women are meant to take subordinate roles to men, as children are meant to take subordinate roles to parents, but that does not mean that children are subordinate, that they're lesser beings, that women are lesser beings, or that they're something evil. In fact, recently I've been having a conversation that in my experience as a GBC, most of the grihastha issues and problems are in greater part, maybe 90%, probably more like 95%, caused by men, and of course those grihastha problems become a good percentage of the problems that our Krishna consciousness movement faces in terms of becoming a viable society and gaining real traction and attention from people around us, that we actually really walk our talk. We talk about cow protection, but do we really believe in cow protection? We talk about protection of women. Do we really believe in protecting women? We talk about Gurukula. We've seen the abuses that have taken place in Gurukula. So I'm making this a subject of today's podcast is something to contemplate, for all of us to contemplate. That are we really doing justice and treating half of the members of our Krishna consciousness movement the way that Krishna wants us to treat them? And if we don't, then as some other things that we may not be doing right, we should be expecting to get both individual and collective reactions to that. So we should know what it means, as Srila Prabhupada once told one of his disciples. Well, Prabhupada said that all women should be treated like mother. Well, Prabhupada, we don't know how to treat our mothers. And Prabhupada replied, then learn it. So if we don't know it, we should learn it. And once we learn it, we should apply it. And we should have a society in which devotees are truly appreciated and honored for who they are, despite the fact that there may be differences in appearance, services, roles, and so on. Hare Krishna.